They had sent for his four nephews, his two nieces, and their one husband. It was not thought that he would last the night. He, who had been Cuffs Cheryl, for so the name Charwell is pronounced, to his cronies at Harrow and Cambridge in the 60s, the Reverend Cuthbert Cheryl in his two London parishes, Canon Cheryl in the days of his efflorescence as a preacher, and Cuthbert Porthminster for the last 18 years, had never married. For 82 years he had lived, and for 55, having been ordained rather late, had represented God upon certain portions of the earth. This, and the control of his normal instincts since the age of 26, had given to his face a repressed dignity, which the approach of death did not disturb. He awaited it almost quizzically, judging from the twist of his eyebrow and the tone in which he said so faintly to his nurse,
"You will get a good sleep tomorrow, nurse. I shall be punctual. No robes to put on."
The best wearer of robes in the whole episcopacy, the most distinguished in face and figure, maintaining to the end the dandyism which had procured him the nickname Cuffs, lay quite still, his grey hair brushed, and his face like ivory. He had been a bishop so long that no one knew now what he thought about death, or indeed about anything, except the prayer book, any change in which he had deprecated with determination. In one, never remarkable for expressing his feelings, the ceremony of life had overlaid the natural reticence, as embroidery and jewels will disguise the foundation stuff of vestment. He lay in a room with mullioned windows, an ascetic room in a 16th-century house close to the cathedral, whose scent of age was tempered but imperfectly by the September air coming in. Some zinnias in an old vase on the windowsill made the only splash of colour, and it was noticed by the nurse that his eyes scarcely left it, except to close from time to time. About 6 o'clock they informed him that all the family of his long-dead elder brother had arrived.
"Ah, see that they are comfortable. I should like to see Adrian."
When an hour later he opened his eyes again, they fell on his nephew Adrian, seated at the foot of the bed. For some minutes he contemplated the lean and wrinkled brownness of a thin bearded face topped with grizzling hair, with a sort of faint astonishment, as though finding his nephew older than he had expected. Then, with lifted eyebrows and the same just quizzical tone in his faint voice, he said,
"My dear Adrian, good of you. Would you mind coming closer? Ah, I haven't much strength, but what I have I wanted you to have the benefit of. Or perhaps, as you may think, the reverse. I must speak to the point, or not at all. You are not a churchman, so what I have to say I will put in the words of a man of the world, which once I was myself, perhaps have always been. I have heard that you have an affection, or may I say infatuation, for a lady who is not in a position to marry you. Is that so?"
The face of his nephew, kindly and wrinkled, was gentle with an expression of concern.
"It is, Uncle Cuthbert. I am sorry if it troubles you."
"A mutual affection?"
His nephew shrugged.
"My dear Adrian, the world has changed in its judgment since my young days, but there is still a halo around marriage. That, however, is a matter for your conscience, and is not my point. Give me a little water."
When he had drunk from the glass held out, he went on more feebly.
"Since your father died, I have been somewhat in loco parentis to you all, and the chief repository, I suppose, of such traditions as attach to our name. I wanted to say to you that our name goes back very far and very honourably. A certain inherited sense of duty is all that is left to old..."